There's so much false thinking out there about who our God is. I mean, the way that people think in our culture about God is so different than the God of Scripture whom we worship. And so one of the things is just to bring clarity to that. And I think as we get clarity in who God is, it's exciting. And the more we trust who he is, the more peace and joy and hope and all those kind of things that we get in our lives. But the second thing is because Scripture actually says that God wants us to get to know him. And he says even more than that, he says, I love spending time with you. And so we're going to dig into that today. We're going to talk about kind of the next question or the next attribute of God that takes a look at this. Looking at how well does God know you? I mean, think about that for a minute. Have you ever pondered the question, what does God know about me? I mean, you think about it. I mean, what is exactly, does he know everything? I mean, does he know everything I've said, done? Has he been everywhere that I have? I mean, what does he know about me? Well, in Hebrews 4:13, the author kind of gives us the answer to this in broad scopes, but he just says this, there is nothing in all creation that is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before him to whom we must give an account. Or in Psalm 147:5, it says this, his understanding has no limits. Now, those verses kind of depict something that theologians have been talking about for forever and call the omniscience of God. And so if you want to sound really smart this week with some theological or churchy word, use the omniscience of God and say, I know what that word means, because that word just means this, God knows everything. Think about the implications of that. If God knows everything, it just means things like this, that there's no question that he can't answer, that there is no problem that confuses him, that there is no happening that surprises him. He's never shocked. He's never lost. He never says, oh, really? I didn't know that. Why? Because God knows everything. But I also want you to know this. It also means this, that God knows you too. And I think that's significant. In fact, as we talk through all these attributes of God, it's one thing to know them, right? But it's another thing to trust them. And again, as we talk through so many different subjects, right, the more we trust God, the more peace and forgiveness and strength and hope and joy that we know in our life in tangible terms. But God knows you. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 139 that God knows everything about you. He's intimately acquainted with you. He knows you inside and out. Now, I know at this point in the sermon, you're like, okay, Pastor, we get it. This is not a complicated one. God knows everything. We know this. We learned it in Sunday school. We're not confused by this at all. And I say, oh, great. That's great. I love that you know it. So I'm going to say this. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that though you may know it, I think there's a lot of times that we live our lives as if we don't. We know it's true, but I don't think we trust that it's true as we walk through life very often. So I want to kind of dig into that today. I'm going to talk about four things in your life that God knows absolutely everything about. And then I want to talk about what that means for you, because it should mean something amazing for you. It should change your life. It should be different. You should experience things because of the truths of what he knows. So let's go through some of these. One of the first ones is kind of the obvious one, so I'm just going to get out of the way at the beginning. But God knows all about your faults and your failures. You could say that this is the bad news one, right? I mean, God knows everything. What you did last week, God was there. What you did when you were a kid, God saw, right? God knows everything about your life. In Psalm 69, verse 5, it says, my sins, O God, are not hidden from you. You know how foolish I've been. I love that line. You know how foolish I've been. It's something that I know I say on a regular basis when I'm praying to God. I mean, you know what a mess I am. I think it's something anytime we get repentant before God, anytime we have those moments of humility before God, anytime we're looking at our life and it's not going according to plan, somehow we feel like we've been part of that, and chances are we have. Again, it says, and my sins, O God, are not hidden from you. You know how foolish I've been. In other words, God knows everything that you've ever done wrong. And I think for some of us, that's a really hard fact. It's something that we like to ignore, because there's some things that we just prefer that God would know anything about. There's some situations, I mean, we know God gets disappointed in us, right? But there's some things that we've done in our life we're so ashamed for. There's times that makes us so uncomfortable, we just wish God just wouldn't know that one thing, or those two things, or those 50 things, or whatever it might be. It gets a little uncomfortable sometimes realizing that we don't have any secrets from him. Why? Well, again, because there's just some things we wish we could hide from him. but wonderfully. And I do say the word wonderfully. That's just not the way it is, right? The reality is I don't have any secrets from God, neither do you. He knows everything. But I say wonderfully because there is a wonderful component to this. He knows you inside and out. He knows everything you've ever done. And here's the crazy thing. He loves you anyway. Can you comprehend that? He loves you anyway. I think this is a huge truth. I was speaking with a guy this week. He was dying. He actually passed yesterday. And he is an amazing man of God. He knew the Bible backwards and forwards. And we were talking, and I was sharing truths with him left and right. And he said, Pastor, I know everything that you're saying is true. I know it's true. I know where it is in the Bible. I know what you're saying is true. It's still just so hard to grasp hold of that God would still love me. The things I've done, it's so hard to grasp hold of that. And I told him, I said, you're right, it is. It's so hard to get that, and yet Scripture is unified in its testimony that he loves you in spite of yourself. It says, while you were sinners, he sent Jesus for you. While you were sinning, while you were rebelling against him, you think about the guys that were crucifying Jesus on the cross, while you were doing these things, even though Jesus knew you were doing things, I sent my only son for you. I pursued you with my love. I gave you the answer to everything. And Jesus, I love you so much, I needed to provide a way so you could spend eternity with me. I created you to love you, but man, it's like every inclination of your heart was evil all the time. Doesn't it say that in Genesis before the flood? Couldn't you say that now at times? He didn't want that to be the case. He wanted to spend eternity with you. He created you for that. So he sent you, Jesus, to save you. It's extraordinary, the love of our God. It's extraordinary that he's, I want you to think of yourself, if you're a parent, this is easy, but I mean, if you had kids, right? And let's say those kids go off and do the dumbest things. I mean, they're complicating their life something fierce because of the sins they're pursuing. It's just, but as a parent, do you stop loving them? If you could get into that situation and fix it or save it, save them from that hurt, from that pain, would you do it? See, God's the perfect parent. He created you, he loves you, he cares for you, he wants to spend eternity with you. And so though he knows everything, he loves you anyway. In Proverbs 5:21, it says, for a man's way are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. So again, you're always playing for an audience of one. Nothing you ever say is off the record. God is always watching. You're always on stage. There are no secret closets. In fact, everything you see, everything you feel, everything you think, everything you do, God sees it all. In fact, he's there in the midst of it all. He knows all about it. So that means this week when you were on a diet and you got up in the middle of the night and you knew your spouse or whoever thought you were going to the bathroom, but you went to the refrigerator for that midnight refrigerator raid, God was there. He knows. And what's crazy, when you're standing in front of the refrigerator, Satan gives you this amazing line. No one will ever know, right? We've all heard that line. That's a great line. He tricks us all the time with that line. And then right after you eat whatever, he gives us another line. What if they find out? You've all heard that line too. That's a horrifying line. What if my parents find out? What if my spouse finds out? What if my boss finds out? What if IRS finds out? I mean, you know, but the thing is, you've already been found out. God knows. He was right there. I mean, he saw it the whole time. He said, go the other way. We didn't. He knows all my faults, all my failures. He's already seen it. He saw it while it was happening. And so when we confess our sins to him, right? When we confess to him to things, all the things that we've done wrong, he says this, I know, I was there. I mean, he's sad for you. He saw how it's complicated your life or how it's destroyed your life. I know, I was there. You know, as you think through all these things, if this is true, then my response to this then is just simply this. Maybe we just need to start being more honest with God then. I mean, if he already knows, it's not like we're sharing some insightful stuff with him. He already knows what's going on. He just wants to admit what he already knows, that we're struggling, that we're a mess. Just admit it. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, I love that line. And I know there's people in this world that just struggle so much to say that they're wrong. I don't know why they struggle so much. Everybody else knows they're wrong. I mean, it's just them. They just won't admit it. The scripture speaks to them. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and usually it's only ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So God says, at least with me, just admit it, right? You're not fooling anybody. Just confess. You know, that I know already, to say, you're right, God, I'm wrong, and I'm so sorry. I mean, that's it, right? And there's a cleansing. I keep telling you, you should feel guilty for like 5 seconds. That should be about how long it takes you to confess a sin to God, right? And you should be horribly guilty because you just rebelled against God. You just showed hatred toward God. You just showed distrust toward your Lord who loves you so much, right? Confess it to him. Get rid of it. And now it's no more. You can live in a state of grace, in a state of forgiveness, in a state of freedom, in a state of joy because of what God has done for you. But admit it. God knows everything about you already. He already knows all the things you've done wrong. And here again, this amazing part. He loves you anyway. And when I admit things to him then, it never changes the way he feels. Because he's been just calling out to us night and day for us to come back or for us to trust him more in our lives. He already knows. He loves you. He loves you unconditionally because of Jesus. All that to say, you don't have to fake it before the Lord. You don't have to pretend before the Lord. Proverbs 28, verse 13, cover-ups never work, especially with those that count. And that's the Lord. So starting with the first piece, God knows all of your faults and all of your failures. Let's go to a different one. God also knows all of your feelings and all of your frustrations. Listen to what it says in Psalm 31, verse 7. You, God, have listened to all my troubles. And I love that verse because sometimes I can get on a little complain streak, right? I just kind of go off on my jag and I just go. But God's so patient. He just sits there and he listens. And he cares about every word I'm saying. Again, it says, you have listened to all my troubles and you have seen the crises, the depression, the hurt, the pain in my soul. I know some of you think when you're going through hard things that nobody else knows what you're going through. Nobody else feels the pain you're going through. Nobody understands, but that's not true. God knows. He knows your feelings and your frustrations. He sees, again, the crises in your soul. In Psalm 56:6, it says, you know how troubled I am. You've kept a record of all my tears. Isn't that amazing? He cares so much about you. He even keeps a record of how many times you've cried because you've been overwhelmed or you've been stressed out or you've been worried or you've been freaked out or you've been hurt or you have pain or you're in depression or whatever the deal. He sees every tear. He's saying there's no hurt that goes unnoticed by me or that I don't care about. He sees it all. And I often think, though, when we're hurting, we get to this, I don't know, we forget this truth and we get isolated and we get lonely. And again, we start thinking, nobody understands the way I feel. Nobody gets this. Nobody understands the pain. I don't know, maybe you went through a divorce or lost a loved one. Maybe you got fired, but you're just cycling down into this misery because you forget that God's still there. But I'm telling you, God knows. He understands your hurt, your feelings, your frustrations, but there's something cooler than that. Not only does he understand, he also cares, Scripture says. In Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14, he says he's like a dear father to us, tender and sympathetic, for he knows what we are made of, that we're dust. He gets our weakness. He gets what happened during the fall, that there's a proclivity on our part to go and sin, to be destructive, self-destructive toward our lives. He gets that. He mourns over that. He understands. He's a sympathetic to our hurts and our frustrations and your hurts and your frustrations. And again, not only does he see it and understand, he cares. And here's the thing, God understands why it happened, right? He knows the causes, the reasons, the things that brought you to that point because he's been watching you the whole time. He doesn't ever okay sin. He knows it's destructive, but he gets why you're there. He knows what lies you've held on to put yourself in that spot. He sees how it all fits together. And the Bible says he understands because he made us. Because he knows our thoughts, our failures, our feelings, our frustrations. He sees your hurt and he cares. Nobody else may, but he does. And so what should we do with all this? If this is true, our response should be simply this. If he sees our hurts, maybe we should give them to him. Ever think of that? I love that. We should give him our hurts. Just like we give him our faults and our sins, give them to him and never take them back. Let him do a healing in our life instead of cycling through the same things over and over. Usually we get hurt once in life. Life is 10% what happens and 90% how you respond. I truly believe that. So usually the hurt, the pain comes from a very select part of our life. But we're reliving it thousands and thousands of times and keeping ourselves right there. There's pain here, but we keep reliving the pain instead of giving it to God. My youngest daughter, she has this tendency to, when she's afraid or when she's hurt, or especially when she was little and had nightmares, she didn't want to share it. You know, she just clammed up. She just wasn't sharing nothing. And so I kept saying, honey, we got to put it on this imaginary table, right? We got to take that stuff that's scaring you inside. We got to put it on this table, because if we can put it on this table, God can start healing it, right? Sometimes he gives perspective to the things on that table. Sometimes he gives comfort or healing to the things on that table. Sometimes forgiveness, sometimes strength. But once we put it on this table, once we get it from the inside and put it on the outside, all of a sudden God has this amazing ability to start working healing into our life. We got to stop holding it and start giving it to the one that can do something about it. What else? God knows our future. I think that's significant too. In Psalm 139, verse 16, it says, "The days allotted to me had all been recorded in your book before any of them ever began." Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you," because they're written in this book, right? Declares the Lord, "plans to give you hope and a future." I love those things. God shares all that with us so that we know that he already knew all of our plans for the future even before we were born. It's kind of a mind bender, right? God has placed into his hands then our legacy, what we'll be remembered for, and our destiny. He's got them. He sees the whole thing. He created you for a purpose, and somehow, some way, he makes sure that purpose is accomplished. For there's already somebody, right, as we look at this, that knows our future, somebody who knows where we're going in life, somebody who's seen all the things and yet somehow factors it in. For the fact is, God sees my tomorrow today. He already sees the things that we'll face. He knows my future. Let me talk about this more. I'll just state this. God is not limited by time. He sees the past, present, and future all at the same time. I guess as a way to understand that, think of being in a hot air balloon, and you're skying over the Fiesta Bowl parade, right? And you can see the beginning of the parade. You can see the end of the parade. You can see the whole thing without having to stop it. You see the guys that let go of the ropes and the things that's going up into the air. You see all the chaos over there. You see how perfectly it's going over here. But you see the whole thing all at the same time. When God looks at our life, he can see your past, your present, your future all at once too. He sees your tomorrows today. And I tell you, that gives me a lot of confidence, because it means that he's got everything factored in as I look toward my future. He's already accounted for all the times I've blown it, all the times I've rebelled against him, all the times I've made a mess of my life. He's already factored that in. And his promises, I'm still working behind the scenes, always for your good, because you love me, because of Jesus. I'm doing these things because I love you, because I care for you. But he's already factored it in, and that's comforting, because he also promises that he will work these things for the good of those who love him. And not only does he walk with us then day by day, he actually works things out in our life for our benefit, for our good. And as a result, he's already prepared you to face everything that you'll have to face in this life. Because he knows what's coming, he's already working in you the ability to handle whatever it is that's coming. You know people that don't trust that? That allow life to overwhelm them so much that they press pause in life because they don't trust that he's got them, because they don't trust that he'll get them through, because they don't feel prepared. I mean, all of us, right? I felt at times in my life that the water was lapping over my head. Like, I wasn't even breathing. I felt like it was so overwhelmed by stuff. But God had prepared me. He just needed me to trust him to get through. And guess what? I got through. And I'm just guessing so did you. So he's already prepared everything that we'll have to face in life tomorrow, next week, next month. And so while it surprises me continually, it never surprises him. And then I'll just say this. If that's true, then what's the takeaway? If God knows all my tomorrows today, then the takeaway is probably this. I probably should start asking him for advice, right? Since he's the only one that actually knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And not just maybe advice, maybe just going to him in general. Making him more a part of our life, more a part of our decision-making, more a part of our ups and our downs, just continually going to this God that cares, that loves us, that already has everything planned out in front of us, that's got all the strength that we need, that has all the power that we need to go through any situation. Maybe the takeaway is we just need to come to him more. I think that's an implication, because sometimes I think we forget to do that. He's not going to lay out your whole life when you come to him right before you, because that would discourage the heck out of us, right? I was going to say it would lead us to pride, but we always focus on the negative. So even if there was a lot of good, we're always focusing on the one bad. And he doesn't want us to be discouraged. So when we come to him, usually he just shows us a little bit at a time. Gives us a little bit of direction at a time. Saying, I just need you to go this way. Scripture says, he calls a call to me and I will give you advice because I know what's going to happen. And so let me give you one more. God knows all about your faithfulness too. I think this is significant because I think there's just some people in this life that are way too concerned about their image, way too concerned about getting the credit. You go to this and the reality is that every time I do the right thing, God is watching. Every time instead of sinning, I choose not to sin, but I resist temptation. Every time I stand for something, have a conviction, no matter how big or how small, God understands and he sees our faithfulness to him. In Matthew 6, 1 and 4, Jesus is actually talking about this. He says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them, or that's all the credit you'll ever get. But then your Father, who sees what you've done in secret, will reward you. I keep saying this, but you need to grasp hold of this. God makes everything about you guys so you can make it about him and others. God always will bless you because of what you've done. God will always reward your faithfulness to him. God saves you. He forgives you because of Jesus Christ. He's done everything for you. You don't have to worry about your eternity. You don't have to worry about your rewards in the eternity. God's got you. And he gives you all those things, and he gives you that confidence so that in this life, you can make it about him and others. I mean, that book by Rick Warren nailed it. It's really not about you. It's about the people God has put in your life. So not only do you get to go to heaven, but all the people he touches through you. Fact, every good deed will be rewarded. Every good deed will be rewarded no matter how insignificant, regardless of whether anybody else saw it or not. So every encouragement you give to other people, every kind word or compliment you give to your kids, every time you did a thoughtful act for your husband, every time you picked up around the office when it wasn't your job, anytime you set up the chairs or stuffed the bulletins for church, every kind thought, every act of courtesy, every time you had an opportunity to gossip but you didn't, every time you had an opportunity to be critical but you weren't, every positive thought instead of negative, God sees it all. He sees everything. Every time you gave sacrificially, God knew exactly how much you had left over. Every time you complimented somebody, every time you did some secret act of kindness, every time you picked up a piece of trash and nobody else saw, God saw again and again and again. And his promise is, I will reward you. Now imagine, maybe just his way of understanding this. Imagine you're on this giant stage and you're sort of acting out your life. You're the only person on your stage, right? But you're acting out your life. And there's only one person in the audience, and it's God, and he's watching. He's out there clapping and said, I saw that good thing you just did. That was amazing. I can't believe you did that. I mean, I'm so proud of you. Or I saw that good thought you just had. You could have gone negative there. It would have been easy to go negative, but you kept it positive, and you kept encouraging the people around you. I'm so proud. God is your biggest fan. He's your biggest cheerleader. He wants you so desperately to be the person he created you to be, to have that effect on the people around you. He's cheering as he's going through life. Again, God pursues you with his love. The more I start thinking about that, the more I want to live for that audience of one. God, because he's the one that matters. Again, God knows all of my faults and my failures, and yet God says, I still love you. He knows all of my feelings and my frustrations, and he says, let me help you. Let me heal. He knows your future, so stop stressing about everything and bring me into it. He knows all about your faithfulness. So make it about me and not you. But I think to me the most impressive or the most amazing thing is that God knows me at all. I mean, think about the billions of people that have been on this earth. And yet God still calls me by name. He still calls you by name. And he says, I love you so much, my child. Great is the love of our God. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for Jesus. And you know, it's kind of fun going through this series. It's fun because we get to hear different things about you, be reminded of truths about you, and as we go through those truths, if we trust them, Lord, the more and more we trust them, the more and more we experience the peace of knowing that you've got us, The strength that comes from knowing that you're there, the confidence of knowing that your promises are true, the comfort that comes from knowing that you care, and the hope that you give because you already know everything that is going to happen. Father, help us trust you more and more as we go through this life. And we pray this today in the name of Jesus. So hear our prayer. And all God's people said, amen.